This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the We Love Carter Freeman Fan Club. Right now, we're going to talk about the Cowboys. And I wanted to specifically kind of make this about only on-field stuff. Because I get it if it's like top three Cowboys problems, as people are going to be like, Jerry, Steven, like, you know. So what are the top three Cowboys on-field problems right now? I can start this off. We can go back and forth. We can go to the text. What are you thinking,
Corey? Go ahead. Give your three, Kevin.
All right.
And I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, no.
I'm just joking. That you might nail it.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure. Number one, rushing defense.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and we can elaborate on all these things. Number two, rushing offense.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, who plays offense besides CeeDee Lamb?
Yep.
Now, the rushing defense, we've kind of hammered this into the ground. It's only been three games, and the Cowboys have already given up 16 runs of 10 yards or more. That is astonishing. Now, on the rushing offense side, I know that Steven and Jerry, to a certain extent, have talked about situational football, and that's why maybe they haven't run the ball quite as much. So let's examine that a little bit more. They're only 30th in rushing yards. The problem is they're also 29th in yards per carry. So, like, if they were, I don't know, 14, 15 in yards per carry, I'd be like, oh, you know, they're average. Maybe he's got a point. But no, they're pretty much at the bottom in yards per carry as well. And then for the last one, who plays offense besides CD? We've talked about this. We talked about it last week. So we're going to talk about it again. Who on this offense can generate explosive plays for you, either running or catching, besides CD Lamb? Because that has been a struggle.
What's the difference from the three things you just said from what we talked about the entire offseason? Nothing.
Yeah.
All three of the things that you just said,
yeah,
we discussed all offseason that were problems and that were going to continue to be problems.
I was really hoping Cooks was going to be a solution to number three, but you're right.
Like that's what the most frustrating part is. At your own home, you identify any problems in your house and you fix them. If there's something that you're like, you know what, we can fix that later. It's the least of my problems, but these are the serious ones. You fix them immediately. And the Cowboys knew this, or what I'm most afraid of, didn't know it. I feel like they did. They just turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
And said, we'll fix that later. I feel like they knew their defensive tackles weren't any good because during training camp, they added more defensive tackles. The entire offense has been kind of that way, but they didn't address that in any way either. They said, we'll draft rookies and we'll add to that. Brandon Cooks is going to be better. That's frustrating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, whenever I look at that, the three things that you just said are all three things that we identified in the offseason and we expected them to address them.
So whenever, I did not embarrass you?
No.
Okay.
When Jerry Jones said all in, that's where we were like, okay, he's going to address all three of the problems that are killing this team in the playoffs.
Yes.
But stopping the run in the playoffs is one of the biggest deals. And it's been how many years now?
Oh, my gosh.
In the playoffs, you've been like, you can't stop the run, so you stink.
All those 12-win seasons have been kind of like that.
Right? And somebody said, that's bold of Corey to assume I care about my home. Okay, you know what? If you don't, then you're in the same bag as Jerry. Not your real home. Just saying, if the Cowboys are your home, you didn't care about them because you didn't identify them and fix them.
Holy moly. All right. I like it. From the 405, top three issues with Cowboys on the field: run offense, run defense, and there doesn't seem to be any continuity on both sides of the ball. You know what I think about when that gets brought up? I think about what you were saying about the end of the quarter and making a note in this last game against the Ravens. Cowboys have momentum. Then you hit the quarter and you wrote down, I bet they're going to lose.
Yeah.
And then that's exactly what happened.
The fumble, it's always something like that. You know what? If it hadn't been that fumble, Kevin, it would have been an offside or a penalty. It would have been a false start.
Something.
It would have been a you know, something that would have screwed everything up. So it's just, they're not focused.
This one is interesting. They started off by saying Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe have not been upgrades over the status quo thus far. And that's the tough thing, because when you look for improvement, and look, when the Cowboys say they like their personnel, I'm far more interested in that when it comes to Guyton, Beebe, Carson, Overshown, like people who they haven't like really played a whole lot of football, if any professional football. And so I'm interested in the upside for them. But thus far, it's only been three games. But yeah, I think it's fair to say you'd want more from your offensive line.
From the, man, that went really fast. From the 214, maybe it's not Cooks, but it's the QB. I'm going to disagree with you here. And the reason being, he threw a touchdown pass to Jalen Tolbert.
Yes.
He completed passes to multiple receivers throughout the game. Jake Ferguson had 95 yards, led your receiving group. In this game, Brandon Cooks had the lowest separation yards of all of the NFL. And you can, again, I will give some of the credit to Baltimore.
Sure.
The other part of it is, where, how are you getting your separation here? So that's where I'm trying to figure out exactly where that blame goes, but I don't think it's Dak as much. There's a lot going on there, but hey, Dak deserves his blame as fairly as well.
Exactly. I don't think it's for that. From the 214, I think coaching is acceptable. That's on the field. Run defense, run offense, coaching is number three. And you see the same thing come up again and again. Like, you've already seen it. These texts are flying in really quickly, but run offense and run defense are unquestionably running away with, ironically enough, running away with the top two spots. It seems like mostly only the third spot is kind of what's sort of up for grabs for people.
Okay. Yeah. Cause mine's going to be different than yours.
Okay. But you said I did not embarrass you with my list.
Nope. That was good. I'm not embarrassed. Number one, stopping the run. Number two, stopping the run. Number three, stopping the run.
Oh.
If you stop the run, actually, I have a different list here, but if you stop the run, that's how serious I am about this part of it.
Sure.
It changes everything for this team. All right. If you stop the run, then teams aren't gashing you on third down with whatever they want to do. And so you can get stops. And then on the other side, you're not trying to play catch up 14 points down because you can't stop the run. So the run is setting up big plays downfield too. Everything that the opponents are doing revolves around the Cowboys stopping the run. And then again, on the flip side, it's affecting your offense because your offense is having to chase and score points in a small amount of time because, hey man, that team just took 9 plays and 8 minutes off of your game, and now you better go score those points really quickly. So stopping the run is number one for me. Number two, offensive separation.
Yeah.
And then number three, Kevin, I'm with Broadus and Bobby. Your first 15 is terrible. Whatever you're doing right now, you got the ball. Everybody in the NFL scripts their first 15 plays. Why? So that they can score and get points on the board. They haven't been able to do that. So what is, whoever's drawing those up, whoever's executing those, they're doing it poorly. And that's where I think they need to be better at that right now.
Can I make an argument for what I think could be happening in there disproportionately to the rest of the offensive game? And it just makes sense because of it's early in the game. I think they're running the ball more in that first 15 plays than they are proportionately to the rest of the game. And I think that's a problem. I understand.
A little bit of it has to do with the fact that after those first 15, they're down and they're trying to chase.
Agreed.
But you are right. Bobby talked about that this morning. The number is drastically in favor of running, and then after the first 15, drastically in favor of throwing.
And that's an issue in terms of, I understand the logic will be, hey, we're breaking in like 40% new components to your offensive line. If you don't run the ball, how are you going to get a better feel for how those run gaps and those run blocks look in actual practice?
Your kid is tall enough to see in the window now,
yes,
Kevin.
Yes, he is.
This is the first time I've ever seen him actually peeking over the wall to see us in the window.
And so I think that's an issue because, quite frankly, this early in the season, I look at it and I'm like, hey, if you don't do it well, let's not try to fix it in our first 15. Fix it in practice. And if you don't, you should be able to look at that and be like, Well, that still doesn't look very good. Let's throw the damn ball.
I'm not doing this to combat Bobby's theory. And Broadus brought this theory to us first. That's why Bobby went and looked up the numbers on it for this year. But I am going to try to do it to compliment him, to compliment Bobby's research. Tonight, I'm going to go home and I'm going to go through last year's games and see what their first 15 looked like and see how much was run, how much was passed. Okay. And then whenever the offense got good, it was about game six, they started scoring early in the game better. I want to go see where they were in that. If it changed, if McCarthy said, you know what, I'm changing this up a little bit. And I want to know, I'd love to know from McCarthy if he's like, yeah, I play a little poker here and there. Sometimes I fold them to set somebody up later down the road. I don't know if that's true, but I want to see if he's looking at the season in a different way.
Would you make an argument that separation is also an issue on the defensive side because you're not getting enough of it from your wide receivers, and it feels like you're seeing way too much of it in your secondary? Because somebody brought up secondary. I think that is a totally fair point. There has been some shocking separation for other receivers.
Oh, yeah. Chris Olave's big wide open play, the play that Baltimore makes to get the third down that iced the game.
Yes.
That was a big, I mean, there was too much space between Diggs and the receiver on that. Somebody said, when are you guys going to admit it that you just suck? I disagree with Jerry Jones when he says, I think that we have the personnel to do it. I think there are spots on this team that are still missing the personnel. And if you heard Brad Sham and you heard the Cowboys post-game show, which you should listen to it, you should hear the pregame show tomorrow night and the post-game show right here on 105.3 The Fan, they started questioning, maybe they're just not good enough. And Brad Sham brought that to the table, so did Broadus, the question, maybe they're just not good enough at a lot of these positions to compete with these really good teams. And that's where Jerry and the front office and the scouting department have to really be aggressive towards themselves when they look in the mirror, as they say.
Yeah, look, I'll be very clear. If they lose to the Giants, I mean, I've already told you what I think is going to happen in that game. And if they lose to the Giants, I think that makes everything in front of you very, very clear. You don't have the personnel. And whether you want to use some of your $24 to $25 million in cap space to make something happen, whether you want to use draft picks to make it happen, whether you want to move on from certain personnel or coaches, I think that's your answer. If the Cowboys lose tomorrow night, I'm not going to come back here on Friday while we're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. I'm not going to be like, hey, you know what, guys? Everything is going to be okay. I'm going to be like, I think the Giants are not a good team yet.
It's time to demand answers.
And you just lost to them after getting essentially smoked.
But if the Cowboys win, they're going to the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to say that either.
Oh.
Okay, you can say that. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to bet you because you're the one, like, you could change your mind. You know, like, you're the one that controls that part of it. So you control what you say.
Okay.
Not Jerry Jones.
That, oh my God, that's true. If it weren't true, then would we be having like backpedaling salary cap discussions with Stephen Jones? Would we? I don't think so.
I would be a lot richer because I would demand a lot more money from them to say things nice about them.
You'd be so freaking.
You live in Plano.
Look,
how much richer do you need bills to be? Sounds like more. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway where we'll get some AM on the FM and also talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. All of it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And you know, if you're looking to spice up your game day grub, you should reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers, the original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor. Favors the bold. It also brings to you our interview with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going pretty well. Now, you, one of the things everybody loves about you is you just gave such insightful answers to so many things. And I was curious, you talked about the disappointment and how tough it is to see other teams clinch playoff spots. So I'm curious, is it tough to get everyone fired up or even get yourself fired up for the last handful of games this season?
It really has not been. I mean, you would think it would be. And I think these guys have done a good job of getting themselves up. You know, we keep sending that message that, you know, it's important that we finish strong and, you know, we're still evaluating. We're seeing what we need to do. And so, you know, on their side, you know, the numbers count. They're still important to them, but and the wins are too. So we're trying to get whoever starting that game a win. And for myself, yeah, losing stinks. Last night, man, I tell you what, that got me because Jonah hit a big home run to tie it, and you know, thought we had it set up there, and you know, the back end of their order beat Spores, a really good pitcher, and that's what made last night tough. But you got to keep pushing. That's because in this game, that's the only choice you got. You know, there's only one way to do things, and that's do it right. So far, I've been happy with how the guys are battling back when we get behind. Last night, had a couple comebacks, and you know, they're still fighting, and that's important. You know, for me, I know for CY, and really for the players, for each other.
You know, Boach, I don't want to dig too much into the, you know, post of the season evaluation here, but I was kind of curious how badly you feel your team needs to add a bat or maybe two in this lineup in the off season.
Yeah, you know, CY and I were talking about that yesterday before the game. You know, just talking about the needs and looking at the teams that are heading into postseason, really how offensive they are. Almost across the board there, you know, they're all putting up runs like we did last year, over 800 or in that area. So that's where we fell short. We can look at a lot of things. Sure, we didn't quite play as well and had some injuries and all that, but, you know, bottom line is we didn't score enough. You know, when you're, what, 200 runs down from in that area about – from where you were last year, yeah, that's going to make a difference in the standings for you.
And when it comes to the DH role, do you want to continue? Do you want to have a designated hitter that still is a, you know, a position player as well? Or do you want somebody who are like, you know, if he's going to be the DH, he can do that. And he can be a guy that comes off the bench and hits alone. What's your feeling on that?
Well, my feeling is if you have it on your club, not a strict DH, but, you know, guys that can handle it and can produce from that area. Yeah, because it is a little bit different DH. And it's, you know, it's better to have it that way, I think, because it allows you to rest guys. So, for example, you know, Seager, you know, he can DH. Now you're putting Smitty out there next year. If Josh Young's healthy and Seager and Marcus and Nate, you know, you got to kind of rotate it a little bit to keep guys fresh. And that's, you know, that's something else we've talked about, you know, how to do that. And, you know, maybe lighten the load on a couple of guys instead of, you know, just running them out in a position to where we can DH. Now, if that's not there, sure, it's nice to, I mean, you, Ohtani, I mean, who wouldn't want that?
50, sure. 50,
come on. So, you know, there are some DHs out there that are impact players that, you know, just do so much damage. Yeah, that's, I'm not going to complain about something like that.
Yeah, and then you mentioned him in the conversation there. Have you ever seen a player in your time with Josh Young's talent to have this type of bad luck with injuries?
Man, I can't think of it. Man, I'm going to put Carter in there too.
Yeah,
21 years old, and both of them. That's what's kind of been surprising about their injuries, how young they are. You know, Carter had some earlier injuries in the minor leagues. You know, he's getting stronger, and then, you know, you don't want to label them as injury prone at this age, mm-hmm. but they are going through a lot. And Josh, what he's gone through, just incredible. You know, and talking to him yesterday, I mean, just started spring training with a calf injury and a second ground ball hit to him. So, you know, we're doing our exit meetings, and, you know, we talked about, you know, just coming to spring training. We got some things, you know, we want some of these guys to do to make sure they're ready and they come in the best shape that they can come in and just do things different.
Now, that last part that you just said might kind of answer my next question, but I was curious with Young, with Carter, with whoever else, how do you balance, like, these are really good players and we need them versus, for whatever reasons, they have gotten hurt and do we probably need a backup plan just in case? Like, how do you balance that out as a manager?
Well, you have to have depth. in any season for a club, that's going to come into play, the bench. And I look at what Smitty did for us when Young went down. He softened that blow. And you saw what he did the first half. He was talking about being on the All-Star team. And, you know, he's dealing with, you know, some aches and pains, just playing, for a whole season. He's finding out what that's about. So this will be, a good thing for him to, to adjust on, to have the knowledge of what it takes, to go out there and grind it every day. But I can't tell you how, what a great surprise he's been for us. And so that Steph, for example, Carter, we missed him, but, Langford came up and helped, replace that a little bit. So, and in areas we had the depth and some, the pitching, I think we're missing a little bit, but in that, to your point, we just didn't have anybody that seemed like he put up the numbers you would want from a DH. They just weren't as comfortable. Garcia, for example, that's doesn't seem to be as comfortable DHing, which kind of surprises me because he's not changing his routine. But part of it is just sitting there and just waiting for your next at bat and looking at the iPads and things. Some guys just handle it better. And I think when you look at some of the good ones, they're experienced guys that, are pinch hitters, and now they're DH'ing, so they're used to it. They're able to, control that one at bat, the emotions of the energy that's running through you when you go up there.
Boach, Cody Bradford's an exciting pitcher for us. He's our guy. And it kind of reminds me, Kevin, of Matt Harrison a little bit.
Yeah.
Where he was, he comes up young in there. He sees the role. He takes it on. He looks the role of a starting pitcher. And he's doing his stuff. When he goes up to the mound, what is your comfort level with him whenever he's there?
Yeah, we just touched on it, about guys, in this situation, getting themselves up and ready for a game. I can promise you that this guy's already been preparing. You see him walking around with his notes, and if he gets beat, he's not going to beat himself. Arizona, it's not like he went out there not prepared. He, looking back, he would have changed what he did, some things. And that's what's good about him. That's what you love about him, and that's what's good about him is the fact that he knows and he learns from, hitter to hitter or game to game. And so when he hits that mound, we know we're going to get everything he's got, and the guy that can command the fastball, and he's not going to beat himself.
Now, I know Simeon has a lot of moments at the Coliseum. I believe he was sharing those a little bit with the TV broadcast yesterday. Does that stadium hold some sentimental value to you also?
Yeah, some it does. I'd always been in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the Bay Series when I was with the Giants, that's where, I got to spend more games there and really appreciate what they did have, and they still do. We saw it last night. I mean, they're passionate fans. They are. And it's loud in there. It reminds me, I said yesterday, of winter ball a little bit. I played 5 years of winter ball, 3 in Venezuela, 1 in the Dominican, and 1 in Puerto Rico. And those fans are really passionate. They're loud. And so it's not quite a Raiders game, but it's pretty crazy.
Probably not right now since you're in the midst of the season, but at some point I really hope we can get you back on to just tell winter ball stories from those 5 years, because – that sounds like that would be amazing.
I loved it. They don't go as much, but it was a way for me being a role player, to keep my skills up a little bit and make some extra money. Back then, we didn't get the contracts they have now, so that's what we did. We loved it. Smitty did go down, for example. He went down for a little bit. They started platooning him and not playing him against lefty, so he came back, but we still send guys down there.
I have no doubt that you guys are focused on this evening's game, but obviously I am curious. Tomorrow will be the last game at the Coliseum. It's expected to be a sellout. There's all kinds of rumblings about, rowdy fans and how crazy it could be. Have y'all been kind of prepped for potentially tomorrow's really crazy atmosphere?
We have. We have had security, Blake. He talked to the guys, and MLBs around. And really, the biggest thing we've told the players, you know, don't get confrontational. If somebody does storm the field, avoid them. Use your glove or hips. Don't get too close to them. But, you know, when the game's over, you know, we're going to head to the clubhouse. And, there's no hanging around because you don't know. I don't think there's going to be, a lot happening like a like the rumblings you're hearing, but you don't know. You get that many people, and of course they'll be tailgating and everything. You don't know, but I do know that there's going to be a lot of security. We got Oakland police, San Francisco police, MLB security, so it's ramped up, and you can see it when you walk in the stadium now.
Once the regular season wraps up, if your team obviously this year will not be in the playoffs, do you decompress from baseball and you just need a break, or do you dive in and like watch the playoffs intently? How do you wrap up the season?
Yeah, we're kind of doing it a little bit now, just getting thoughts, talking about things that we need to do better, because you don't want time to go by and kind of forget some of the things that happened this year. So that started, but once it's over, I'll watch some playoff games. I may miss some because I'll be spending some time with the family. But I like to look at the strategy, things like that. What I would have done different as I watch these games, because that's experience that you can use. And if you get back in, that's I try to learn from every game. I mean, pick up something I didn't think of, and that's the playoffs. It's just a different ball game, and I can't tell you how much I miss not going. But still, it's fun to watch, and lots at stake, and there's not really a dominant team.
Yeah,
that's the thing here. So, you're seeing the Dodgers now; they're fighting for their life to keep the division. So it's really a flip a coin on who's going to win the World Series, I think.
But it's totally okay if I tell you that I'll be rooting heavily against the Astros,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I get that. We all will be.
Well, Boach, before we let you go, it was about middle of the season. You were getting off the phone with us, and my co-host Kevin said, go get Rangers.
Oh, my God.
And every time we've gotten off the phone with you, I go get Rangers. I don't know if you've heard us say that. Did you hear Kevin say go get Rangers in the middle of the season at some point? And did you go, what the hell is he talking about?
No, I didn't hear it. No.
Thank goodness, because I meant to say either go get them or go Rangers. I don't know what happened. People have made shirts for me that say go get Rangers, and I have been mocked.
It's our
for
rallying
the rest
cry yeah.
of the season because
yeah.
of that.
No, that was funny. I missed it. Yeah.
Well, we're glad to entertain you anytime we can. And obviously, we love to talk with you whenever we get the opportunity. Really appreciate the time, good sir.
All right, guys. I know it didn't go like we wanted, but thanks for your patience at times with me and missing a few calls here or there. You guys are great, so thanks for that. And it's always good talking baseball with you.
Yes, absolutely. Sir. Thank you very much, good
sir. Go get Rangers.
Okay. All right, go get Rangers.
All right.
Yes! I love it.
No.
That's my manager right there. That is my manager right there. He's awesome.
I agree with that for every other part of the interview, except that last, the way he goes, now that's pretty funny. I was like, oh man.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Thanks a whole lot for that. But he is awesome. And by the way,
as Killswitch says, Boach is class AF. Yeah, I mean, he absolutely is, man.
He really is. I have not heard that specific phrasing a whole lot, but I appreciate it. And you know what? We talked about it. We might try to reach back out to him and see if he wants to jump on for Peace-a-thon. Maybe we'll give him a go get Ranger shirt.
Just hold on to that, Alec, for Friday, because that's winning. That's winning no matter what. Every time we got Boach to say it, dude. That's great.
I am not as enthusiastic as you are about that. But what I did love is when I said, hey, you get it, when I say I'm going to be rooting against the Astros.
Right? Hell yeah, goes, I do.
Yeah, we're all there with you. So I really appreciate it. And, this is something to take a look at. He said, Boachie, that is, he doesn't anticipate any potential major issues tomorrow. But The Oakland police are there. The San Francisco police are there. The word is it is going to be, or the game is sold out. So tomorrow when it's going down, I am really curious to see what happens outside of the, like, the result of the game and the fact that he said, be prepared to use your hips or your glove in case, like, fans run on the field. So they've clearly had these conversations.
It is smart of, you know, whoever it is. And I see some people here, they say they're not mad at the players. They're not mad at the team or coaching. They just want to, you know, go after the ownership and the, in that group of it.
I get
that part of it. But it is smart of Major League Baseball to say, we do got to be prepared. Just let the guys know. Because the worst thing that could happen is they're standing on the field going, what do we do? So like Bochy said, hey, man, game's over. Get out of here. Let them handle their, hopefully they handle it. You know, they go, all right, this is a time for us to be, you know, celebrate as fans. We're hate it, but we're going to celebrate, you know, next to each other, shoulder and shoulder, not try and rip it all apart.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for AM on the FM.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Go get Rangers, baby.
Yes!
I'm so glad that happened. That's going to be immortalized, I guarantee you. That's going to be a promo by the end of the week.
Alec.
Thank you, Corey Majors.
From the 214, I literally applauded in my work truck after Bochy said, go get Rangers. From the 817. Yes, sir! From the 817. Yes! From the 682. He finally said it. Let's effing go.
I did not realize
that so many people were invested in that. And that laugh's going to haunt me. And it's pretty funny.
That was so good. I can't wait to replay that on Friday. Masterpiece of the week. 1:30 right here in the KNC Masterpiece. Just be ready for that. But
should we sell Go Get Ranger shirts for a Peace-a-thon?
Yeah,
yeah, that was the we next should.
I really think we should. Okay. And if not for like the general public, just selfishly, because I know specifically, not just me, even my dad, anytime a bit gets printed on a t-shirt, he's like, give it to me.
That's awesome.
Like, please. Like, I think it was the last Firehouse stop. Somebody made some Sean and RJ t-shirts that said, sorry about Bobby. And
yes.
And Ruben gave me one just to give to my dad.
That's great.
Because it was his size. And my dad was like, yes. I love this. So if not for the Tolos selfishly, we need to get those printed up because I'll buy a few.
Give your dad a fist bump from me, man. He's awesome.
Oh, well, one of these days he's going to wander his way up here. He works like 5 minutes away from here and he still never visits.
What's the story?
How rude.
Go get Alex's dad.
Anyways, it's time for AM on the FM right here in the KNC Masterpiece. We always start with a question of the day. I got some audio for you as always as well, but I'm going to bend the rules a little bit here today of what day of the week it is. I know it's a Wednesday, I think. They all kind of run together. But it's not a Friday. I just want to give a shout out to our buddy Carter Freeman for no reason other than being a wonderful human. And one of my, outside of work, he's our video operator. If you don't know him, he's one of my closest friends, just like in general.
Yeah.
We spend time outside of work. We talk a lot. When I was running the weekends for a good couple years, he was on like every Saturday during the college football season just because he knows way more than I will ever know.
Oh my God.
Yes. We love this cliche in sports radio that he's forgotten more things about college football than I'll ever learn.
True.
That's very true with him in regards to my lack of knowledge. So just wanted to shout out him for being a wonderful human. And
he's the best.
I love him. But anyways, the question of the day today, I was going to go more food related again, but then I saw today's international calendar and today's international holiday. International One Hit Wonder Day.
Oh, like it.
So the question of the day, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney's text line. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. What is your favorite one hit wonder of all time?
All right. So this is going to date me for so many reasons. When the song Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba came out. Okay, look, let's all just objectively agree that song is awesome. All right? I went to the Blockbuster Music, and of course, it was like Christmas. You get Blockbuster gift cards and everything like that. Went to the Blockbuster Music, bought the Chumbawamba album, thinking for certain They would have many other tremendous tunes that I would also enjoy. Didn't find them on that album. I did not find them. So Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, I believe, is really, really high up on the list.
Kevin, do you know another song by Dexy's Midnight Runners?
No chance.
There's only one song we know, and what is it? It's about Eileen.
Oh, yeah. Poor Eileen.
Poor Eileen.
She's not being treated correctly.
There's also a song called Lucas with the Lid Off. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that song. I loved it back in the day. Anyway, Nina, 99 Luftballons.
It's about nuclear war.
Irresponsibly love that song. Okay. And then like John Forte he sampled it and did a song with Wyclef Jean. And Goldfinger redid it. I've always loved that song, but I've never heard another song from anybody else or from Nina than 99 Luftballons. That's it.
All right. This is tough because I want to bring up some older people, but maybe the fan text or the YouTuber, well, probably not the YouTuber, the Twitch. Maybe the fan text will be like, the hell they were. What about the Champs? Now you might be thinking, who the hell is that? In 1958, came out with the song Tequila. And I had never heard of that band. I had to look up who sang that song because I couldn't remember. I'm going to make the argument that the Champs never had another freaking song in their life that anybody gave a crap about.
Boss man Gavin Spittle texted Alec and he said, Safety Dance, Men Without Hats.
That is a banger too. Yep. And it can't just be like a pretty good song. You need it to be like, man, that song was freaking huge. But you could still think in your mind, doo, 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 doo. We got to dance.
Dance if you want to.
Yeah, was nobody else thinking then?
I have a lot that come to mind whenever I think about one-hit wonders because it's amazing how many there truly are out there. I've seen a lot of Return of the Mac come in here on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. I've seen a few really good ones too. Rock Lobster. Got texted in.
No.
Get out of here.
The B-52s had more hits than that. Love Shack was huge.
I know they did. I just had to say it because I know that someone someone does not like that song. So
what about, get out of here with that crap.
Right Said Fred with I'm Too Sexy.
That was a good song.
Yes.
I don't know anything else he's done.
I couldn't tell you one other thing that Right Said Fred ever did.
I've seen this one a number of times, and it's Stay by Lisa Loeb.
Did she not have any other?
I don't know, but I think she's still living off that song. I think she still plays it. She's from the area. I think she's from right around here in DFW. Let me look that up to confirm. And then from the 817, I don't know who the band was, but Scotty doesn't know. From Eurotrip?
That was
a banger song. So much so that when they go into the club, there's an EDM version of it.
Yeah, so there is.
Help me out with who sang this.
Scotty.
It's who sang How Bizarre. Do you remember that song?
How Bizarre. Ooh. How Bizarre. Do, do,
do, do, do. I can't tell
was
you.
Was that OMC?
I think that might actually be right. I have no idea, but
yeah, it was OMC.
Okay, that's another candidate right there.
Let's see. I had one. If you are a SpongeBob fan, you will know this, Sweet Victory.
Oh, yeah, I do like that
David
song.
Glenn Isley.
Okay.
That's a fantastic one.
I'm conflicted because I have one, and I'm going to bring it up, and I think they might be local. I think this song is super catchy, but one of the dumbest songs that's ever been made. It's the band Deep Blue Something in the song Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I love that song.
It is an objectively catchy song. That song is so stupid. It's about these two people.
Great.
Look, do I know a lot of the words? Maybe all the words? Fair point. But it's about these two people that are going to break up because they're clearly wrong for each other. And they're like, hey, what about the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's? And the other one's like, I kind of remember that movie, but not totally. And the other one's like, yeah, me too. I kind of like it. As if they're both going to get back together for a movie that they kind of sort of like. Stupid. It is catchy as hell, but it's dumb.
Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus, which has kind of made a little bit of a comeback. Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5.
Yes.
Was very catchy for a period of time for a while. Aha's Take on Me,
Was a-ha a one-hit wonder? I don't know
any other songs by them, but have you ever heard the acoustic version of that?
The acoustic is awesome.
Amazing.
I love it.
I don't think so.
That dude, he was in the Deadpool movie. Sing.
I think the first Deadpool.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Then yes, I did.
It's so good.
And Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. If you don't remember, that thing hit so big. And then the Dolphins cheerleaders were like, hey, let's do this as a video. And it got even bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, two more options. Obviously, I'm fired off a lot of 90s stuff. I realize that because that's immediately what I think of. Sex and Candy by Marcy Playground and Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve.
Yes.
And that dude, by the way, if you see him on TikTok, that dude, he will sing that song everywhere. Every time he sees somebody singing it, he'll go sing it with them.
He
tries to sing it to police officers to get out of tickets. Like, he's still vibing off of that one.
Those are the two. Does this count? I think he had like a couple mid-range hits like Ninja Rap, but I've seen multiple people text in Ice Ice Baby. It's there from the 214, from the 682. I like Teenage Ninja Turtles 2, even though it's stupid. And he sings Ninja Rap in there. And I think that song was kind of a hit. So I don't know if that counts.
Somebody texted in Gangnam Style. And then somebody texted in Who Let the Dogs Out. Which one of those was a bigger, like, I think it was Gangnam Style because of the YouTube appeal. Whenever Who Let the Dogs Out was just kind of an MTV thing back then.
Gangnam Style is the second most watched video in the history of YouTube.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, I'm sorry. It has no business being that viewed.
Disagree.
That scene.
Disagree. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm about to take over part of your segment here. I am somebody whose little child loves Gangnam Style.
Oh.
Not as much as he loves Baby Shark, the most viewed video on YouTube. But I've watched Gangnam Style. That song is excellent with the video. And I'll tell you why. You watch that video. Psy is struggling looking for the perfect dance partner. He looks everywhere. The beach, the elevator, a parking garage for some reason. And finally, on the subway, he finds the perfect dance partner. It is delightful.
Kevin, from the 361, I went to high school at Plano Senior High with Scott McLewitz, who was the main character in Eurotrip, who played Scotty in Scotty from the Scotty Doesn't Know song. I went and looked it up, and he did graduate from Plano Senior High in 1999 before going to the University of Texas and then moving to LA. So yeah, that dude went to Plano Senior High, where my kid's going to be going. That's going to happen.
Okay, that's awesome. And then, sorry, Alec, from the 817, you really don't know Tarzan Boy by Baltimora?
Yep.
On the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 soundtrack. Didn't think I'd be able to get two of those references in.
Nope.
I do like that song.
Let's see. Last one from the 682, the Old Town Road song by Lil Nas X. Yep. Have not heard from him outside of outrageous outfits at award shows.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason he's popped up on my like social media feeds. Other than that, I've not heard from him. It's still a banger. I will give him that. But I do want to play this sound. My favorite thing that comes from the NFL season is mic'd up moments across the league, in-game stuff, on the sidelines. I know the Cowboys do a great job with it specifically, but I'm not trying to give them any love or anything, but the Eagles put out one this past week against the Saints. There is one player on that team that I don't care who he ever plays for. I will always love him. His name is Jordan Mailata, and he is a starting offensive lineman that got paid, and he can sing. If you didn't know, his Christmas music is awesome. Dallas Goedert had a long catch and run versus the Saints, but he couldn't finish the job, and Jordan Mailata was not very happy about it.
Trying to get some of it back. They'll get plenty. Dallas Goedert is right up.
Go, son. Unhook the trailer. Unhook the trailer.
60 yards from Hurts to Goedert.
Dallas, you slow motherfucker. I'm sorry. I'm happy.
I promise. At the end, but he was yelling, "Unhitch the trailer!"
But unhitch the trailer. If you use an expletive in a positive way, I think it should be accepted by society.
Oh yeah, and it should. And it's funny because this exact same thing happened to the Eagles a few years ago with Jay Ajayi. where he had a long run and he got tackled from behind.
Yeah.
And all of his running back teammates come up and they're like, boy, you are slow as bleep. What is wrong with you? Why did you get caught? You should have scored there. And Dallas Goedert got caught by a DV and he was like, unhitch the trailer. Why are you so slow? This is so funny. I love mic'd up moments.
Unbelievable. That was a very fun edition of AM on the FM. I'm sure you had more planned, but we just kind of got.
And guess what? We got
away.
Tomorrow.
There you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Are these celebrations the best celebrations? And maybe even more next in The Fan.